Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So last night, think of what you were doing, okay? You were watching 24 on Fox. Maybe you're watching the NewsHour. Maybe you're listening to your favorite CD. Maybe you were reading a book. Right. There you go. Exactly. The kids wake up. Cell phone rings. Somebody comes into the room. The phone rings again. Interruptions. New research suggests that however annoying interruptions seem in our multitasking world, they may be enhancing your appreciation for what you're doing in the way that the brain responds. Here to tell us more about this is Benedict Carey, science reporter for The New York Times, who has a story on the psychology of interruptions in today's Science Times. Welcome back to the program, Ben.
Thanks very much.
Now, interruptions, why did you, first of all, tackle this? It seems like a gigantic issue in relationships and the question of how we speak politically, how we get through our day because of all these electronic devices. What made you decide to look into the science of it?
Well, there was some interesting research presented at a recent psychology conference. I don't think interruptions have been studied all that much at all. It happens all the time. It's one of those everyday things where you don't even think about it. And so it was interesting in its own right just that someone was looking at that. They looked at the – I reported on some research in which they looked at interruptions in the context of TV commercials and found that commercials enhance the viewing experience. You enjoy shows more when you have commercial interruptions versus when you don't. And so this was such a sort of a strange finding that I thought it was worth writing about or looking at.
So you like the show less if you TiVo it and get rid of the commercials than if you actually watched it on the broadcast network in its original context with the interruptions?
Not quite right. Most people, when they TiVo, they make their own interruptions. You stop, you go to the bathroom, you go get something to eat. Someone comes in the room, you stop, you rewind. And so in a sense, those are ideal interruptions because you have control over them. What they were looking at is TV shows interrupted by commercials or shown continuously where you essentially sit there and watch the whole thing through.
Well, Benedict, this is Farai Chidea. It strikes me that this is completely counterintuitive. And what does it say to you about human psychology that in some cases we find it pleasurable to be interrupted, when, you know, the whole protocol around interruption is usually that you're aggravated, that you are the star of your life and people are just getting in your way?
Right. Well, I think it makes more sense when you think of other ways that we can enjoy interruption. You know, we put off some pleasures. You know, we space out our drinks or our cigarettes through the day, our calls to our friends. I was thinking of it even in terms of when you get together with a good friend and you have a conversation, you're interrupting each other all the time. It's sometimes the most kind of fun conversation there is. And so I think when you think of it in that context, sort of broadly, that we like to save our pleasures sometimes. And then when you look at it sort of moment to moment in a TV program, it starts to make a little more sense. The problem, of course, is that some commercials are so annoying that,
right,
you know, you just think it's crazy.
Out.
Yeah.
So that delayed gratification theory that you're talking about here, does that work even if you're talking about electronic devices that get in your way, that shift your focus away from, say, reading a book?
Well, it's a good question. I would expect so. I think that's what they would probably say. I mean, the sort of the psychology behind this is that we adapt to the experience we're having. So if we're watching a show, we're enjoying the show, we adapt to that. And so the more we watch, the sort of the less pleasing it is. It sort of diminishes in its returns as we're watching. And so to interrupt it, we kind of go back to zero, and it becomes sort of as enjoyable as it was when we first turned it on. So if you keep sort of running the meter back to zero, you get that effect.
Hmm.
So that's the way they sort of explain this. Now, they also found sort of the converse or the opposite, that if you're doing something dreary or miserable, interrupting that experience can make it seem more dreary.
More
dreary. Yeah.
Well, let me ask a personal question.
Yeah.
What is your worst-case scenario for being interrupted? What would drive you completely out of your mind?
You can talk about your editor. It's okay.
Right. What would drive me completely out of my mind? You know, I guess if you're looking, you're talking about the Friday night martinis are pretty important. So, you know, that can be interrupted and it drives you a little bit nuts.
So late deadline, you got to stay at work.
Right, late deadline for sure.
Yeah. That's nasty. Well, then, you know, this sort of gets to the question kind of backhandedly. What is the value to our brain of focused, immersive activity where we don't deviate, where we don't get interrupted, where we don't even interrupt ourselves, where we just really drive into something? Maybe it's playing the piano or the violin.
Well, that's a good question, and that's a different experience than the one they're looking at. The things they're looking at are fairly mild, more passive than what you're talking about. The experience you're describing, and there's a whole literature and research on that, some people call it flow, where you get engrossed, you lose yourself in something, a very engaging task. You're doing some music, you're a craft or something like that. And in those cases, I think most of the psychologists agree that interruption's probably a bad idea. Because it does break the thread, and it breaks that experience.
Well, it's an interesting takeaway because we think of our brains as being in a natural state of focus, but in fact, there are all kinds of natural states of the brain, focused, sort of, profoundly immersive, but also there's a whole superficial protocol of the brain where we are expecting to get interrupted and we have experiences that move from thing to thing. I guess we have to be able to do both to function as humans. Your story is in today's Science Times, correct?
It is.
Benedict Carey, science reporter for the New York Times, talking about focus and interruptions. And I don't think I interrupted you once, Ben.
Good job. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
I'm trying to get something done.